It can be a very painful journey. It can be basically a journey of you having to face yourself. So your twin flame is going to show you exactly what you need to work on. So a lot of people might say, oh, I really wish I could meet my twin flame. And I always joke and I say, well, be careful what you wish for. Because basically you're going to be faced with every single shadow you have never faced before. So your twin is going to challenge you in every single way in order for you to clear what you need to clear. Welcome to the Akashic Recordings. I'm Annette DeLue, Akashic Conduit, Channel, and Spiritual Guidance Coach.
And I'm Julia Nalivaiko, Storyteller and Creative Producer of Conscious Media Content, such as this podcast. What you're about to hear is a real-life Akashic Records session with Annette and one of her clients, recorded with their permission. For privacy, their names have been changed, but everything else is real.
Stay tuned to the end of each episode where we deep dive into subjects that come up throughout the session.
In this episode, we continue with Marianne's session. After learning of her soul origin and purpose, she wants to know more about her relationship with her twin flame. Twin flames are one soul split into two. Each soul is autonomous within each human being, and the purpose of this soul trajectory is rapid spiritual growth. During the chakra scan that Annette performs at the beginning of each session, she identifies a heaviness in Marianne's solar plexus, which is the seat of her personal power and how she shows up in the world. She finds it is tied to a previous lifetime, which they will explore in this session.
Okay, so we're going to go into the solar plexus chakra. We're going to go into that lifetime and clear that because I think that's really important to clear right now. So this is from three lifetimes ago. Somebody disconnected you from your celestials. It's like I'm literally seeing somebody reach into your chest and like pull out your batteries. So let's take a look at what happened here, please. You lowered yourself for your twin flame. Okay, how long ago did they split into two halves, so to speak, two souls? It wasn't very long ago. I'm getting seven lifetimes ago. You kept sort of the divine celestial nature, and your twin flame kept the more earthly nature. So in and of itself, you two are a balance of each other 100%. In this particular lifetime, you met your twin flame, and he was in a very rough place. He was in a very bad place energetically. They're showing me like he's literally laying in the dirt because it's been very hard for him to anchor into this earthly energy, which is part of what he is supposed to do. And so leaving behind a lot of that celestial energy was really difficult for him. He sort of got the more difficult end of the stick on this journey. And so in this lifetime that we're seeing, that was three lifetimes ago, you decided that you were going to go and help him. You met him briefly. You were not friends. You were not together. You were not lovers. He was just somebody you knew, and you saw him struggling, and you decided to go down to meet him where he was energetically, and he pulled you down with him. You did eventually become lovers, but in a way that was rooted in fantasy and escapism. You escaped together. You escaped for an entire lifetime. He drank a lot, and so did you. It affected you a lot worse because of your celestial nature. Bringing you back down to earth was a bigger crash than it was for him. He was already at the bottom, and you had to come down several levels to actually come down to the bottom with him. And I'm hearing the words like circling the drain, like you both just basically said, that's it, screw it. We're just going to die here together. We're just going to abandon everything that we're here to do. You lost your family in that lifetime. So did he. You both felt very alone in the world. You didn't feel like you were connected to anyone but each other at that time. This is the reluctance to be in your own personal power, because you're afraid that if you actually are in your own personal power and you clear this solar plexus chakra blockage, that you will have to leave him behind, that he will not be able to rise up to the level that he needs to in order to meet you. So you keep yourself powerless to a certain extent in order for him to be able to catch up. and this is not necessary anymore. You can rise as high as you want, and he will meet you there eventually. It may not be in this lifetime, but he will meet you. It is time. It is time for you to not lower your energy anymore. It is simply preventing you from doing what you were here to do. Is there anything else that we need to do to clear her solar plexus chakra? She just needs to set the intention that she's going to clear it and that she's going to let it go.
Okay.
Are you willing to do that energetically? Are you ready to do that energetically?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be hard initially in terms of letting go of that energy. But know that you're going to feel much brighter. You're going to feel much lighter once this energy is released. You will be able to accept and know that your twin is always a part of you no matter what. And you will be able to connect to that energetically much easier when you're in that higher energy than you can right now. Do you have any questions?
Why did we split? Was it because it was necessary for the work?
It was a decision you made because you felt like you were not getting certain experiences on this planet due to the fact that you are hovering just slightly above it, because you were never fully able to sort of ground into human life. This was one of the options that you had available to you to help understand a bit more about the density of this earth. You could have decided to incarnate fully on the earth like you did in the first lifetime, but you remembered how hard that was and you decided that that wasn't something you wanted to do. This other option was to allow a part of yourself to experience that and then a part of yourself to be slightly not grounded into the earth. And you felt that it would be an easier journey to have two energies in the same connection moving forward and gathering information. It has been successful from that particular standpoint. It has been giving you the information that you need. It has been more difficult for your twin flame, though. He is the one taking the brunt of that earthly energy. It's not to say that it hasn't been hard for you either, given the knowledge of your connection. It's almost as if he's in the thick of it and you're standing above him, watching him do it, feeling helpless to do anything about it, and having full-on compassion and love and gratitude for what he is going through in order for both of your souls to gather the information you need to complete the job that you came here to do.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes. And so I assume, but can you confirm that we return to one soul when our mission is complete?
Yes. The integration will happen in the next two lifetimes at your current trajectory. It's not to say that you won't connect in the three dimensions on a human level at various times throughout not only this incarnation, but subsequent incarnations. You are meant to come together to exchange information anyway. You are meant to come together at a certain point and your souls will then merge to be able to share the information that he has gathered and that you have gathered to then complete the mission that you've come here to do.
This is a big letting go. I really thought this was the life that I lived all my lives for. So there's definitely a readjusting and a real like reality check, if you will, that I think is necessary to free me to live in this life, not waiting.
It is necessary. It is necessary given the paradox of living on this planet. Oftentimes what happens is doing the very thing that we don't want to do is the very thing that puts us back on our path. Part of the grief and sorrow you're feeling right now is because you knew that there were going to be other lifetimes after this one. The truth of that is where the sadness lies, given that you were hoping that it would be complete. Embracing where you are is what needs to happen.
Yeah.
Embracing where you are, living your life in the most aligned way possible, and learning from the previous life of when you lowered yourself to be with him. It didn't serve you and it didn't serve him either. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It all makes sense.
Yep. Okay. Do you have any other questions about your twin?
I actually do have one for both of us. It's around safety. Do we live full lifetime? I don't know if I can ask this. I don't know if I want to ask this, but do we live full lives in this lifetime, each of us, meaning natural deaths that we choose? I don't know if that's the right wording, but I think you know what I mean.
I do. You have surpassed all of your points of exit. We all choose the time, day, and cause of our death. That is the end point, if you will. But we always have exit points. before that. Usually every person has two exit points prior to that. If the soul decides that we are not on our path or that there's no turning back, it's completely on a different trajectory and that there is no recovering from that. If there is some sort of unexpected trauma that happens that is unrecoverable at this time, some souls may choose to check out early. It is a decision that is made between your human self and your soul. You have surpassed those two exit points. So yes, you will live a full life. You are also connected well enough to your intuition that you will be able to avoid any particular unexpected catastrophes as long as you are still wanting to be connected to this earth. For your twin, he is also meant to live a long life in this lifetime, longer than yours, in fact. It was meant to be that way because you have spent a couple of lifetimes outliving him and it was unbearable for you. It's actually easier to be the one to go first. That is all we can say at this time as we are not able to access his records specifically.
Thank you. That does give me safety and security in things that I have questioned.
Okay, so there's something they want me to share first before we dive into a previous lifetime so we can get context. For the last few lifetimes, you have almost foregone your life purposes in lieu of trying to connect with your twin flame. You have not been progressing. You have been, but not at a rate that was preferred by your soul. Keep in mind that all of this is all created by you and your soul. So the timelines and all of that, like all of that is created by your soul, like the deadlines, when you're supposed to be doing things, when, you know, it's all sort of master planned ahead of time before each life. And so after that lifetime, each time you crossed over and you would get back into spirit, you're like, crap, I did it again. I totally just ignored my life purpose because I felt that my life purpose was to help this person or was to be with this person. Although that is part of your life purpose, it is part of it. It is not your entire life purpose. And your entire life purpose can be fulfilled without him. A lot of times, twin flames can get stuck in this idea that they cannot fulfill their mission without their twin. And that is simply untrue. The only thing that they cannot accomplish without their twin is that union energy that is fully unified once your twin flame journey is complete. So as it pertains to your life purpose, this is the first lifetime since that lifetime where you have been open and willing to start working on your life purpose without your twin flame. And that was necessary. Okay. Do we need to look at any past lives to get context? Yes. Okay, so we're going to look at the lifetime just after you and your twin split into two humans. They're saying that this gives you your trajectory of the past several lives and what you've been working on, actually. So this is where I'm seeing you touch people's hearts. You're touching their heart chakras. You're lighting them up. You're connecting them to that divine source love and to universal consciousness. You're here to be the gatherer of all other souls that are like energetic signature as yours. You're not going to be able to connect the hearts and the consciousness of souls that have only been here on earth and who haven't been any other place. Your soul resonance will not work that way. You're here to be the gatherer of information for all the other guardians and for all the other souls that are like that energy. So I'm seeing you in this previous lifetime. You're giving many people hugs. You're just like hugging them. And not only are you giving people hugs, but you're giving a little bit too long of a hug where it's like getting a little uncomfortable for the other person. So like you're like hugging them and you're just like, oh, just feel that love. And, you know, you're not saying that exactly, but that's kind of what you're exuding. And the people are kind of like backing away slowly. They're like, okay, thanks. That was really uncomfortable.
That's like not literally giving hugs, but that's my energy in 3D reality. It's like it's too much and it's like, oh, okay, that's nice. I'm going to walk away.
Don't worry about it. It's not you. It's them. Basically, if somebody can't receive that love, because you're just a giant beacon of love. So like if they can't receive that, it's going to be super uncomfortable for them. But it's really beautiful because in each and every experience like this, it's like you plant a seed. So I'm seeing, like, you know, even though the people walk away feeling uncomfortable, they walk away having experienced something they may have never experienced in their whole lives. It's funny because I'm seeing you have a husband in this previous life, and he's saying, I really wish you wouldn't hug people like that. it's weird. And you're like, why? It's something that I love to do. And I think it helps people. And he's saying it's inappropriate. And you're like, no, it's not. Like, your husband in this particular lifetime is somebody you chose, but he's definitely the antithesis of you. He's very grounded into earth. He's not super into his emotions, but you were also there to help him as well. Yeah, you're here to make people super uncomfortable with love. Like, you're here to just be like, yep, this is what it feels like.
Oh, I love that life purpose.
It's really good. It's really, really good. Because eventually you wear people down. I mean, eventually you like wear them down in terms of, like, you know, letting them let down their shields, right? That feeling that they are not worthy to receive love, or that they cannot receive love, or maybe that they've never received love and they have no idea what that looks like. And so you are able to slowly but surely, like, plant those seeds and allow that to gently unfold for them, because you're not particularly pushy about it. It's not like you're putting this on someone who doesn't want it. It's like you are holding that space for the person to be able to have it. And then once they come toward you, you allow them to experience it, and then you let it go. It's very much like, again, you know, your soul purpose, which is the balance. You're very much the type of person that can really identify what is balanced and what isn't. So if somebody is very resistant to you, you're not even going to bother. And if it's somebody who you can tell is open but hesitant, that's when you'll sort of take a couple steps forward and say, okay, are you ready? And then they'll be like, yeah, maybe. And then you'll be like, okay, let's try this. And it's like, this is sort of a funny way of describing it, but that's kind of what's going on in the energetic level. So that makes sense as to why the last three lifetimes, your life purpose hasn't been fulfilled, because what you were trying to do with your twin flame, which was do the exact same thing, like give that love and show that love, you were only giving it to one person versus giving it to everybody who you were meant to give it to in those lifetimes. And it's not that you have to give so much of your energy. You don't have to give a lot. I think that's why they were showing me that you were hugging people, because it's not like you have to spend a lot of time with somebody. It's not like you have to actually be in a friendship or relationship with anybody. It's just like those small interactions can be huge for somebody who hasn't experienced that before. So you're meant to be out there. You're meant to be out there among people, shining that bright light that you have. You need to understand that it's not you that's too much. It's that others are so far disconnected from love and from that divine source energy, that to see you and your energy is like, whoa, it's like a big bright sun. You know, it's like they can't process it. They can't understand it. And so there are going to be people that are like that, and that's okay. And they're saying you can just, you know, move on. It's just an energy thing. It doesn't have to do with you as a person. It doesn't have to do with how lovable you are and how amazing you are. It has to do with essentially the two energies are almost clashing. And also other people can be in resistance to that energy, to any sort of love energy, any sort of energy that they're not used to that is uncomfortable for them. They can have a tendency to sort of rail against that. So just keep that in mind. It's going to help you to understand that, oh, okay, that's their journey. I don't have to worry about that, and I'm just going to go on mine.
Thank you. I think those are the thorns too. Those are the ones that keep popping up, is investing and connecting and giving too much time attention to those energies that I don't flow with and that they're just not ready. And so I'm really hyper aware of that, and like where I direct this energy to containers that can handle it for both of our benefits, you know?
Yep, exactly. Okay, wonderful. So how do you feel?
Expansive, validated, lighter. All the things that I was seeking. Thank you. Like, you know, I've been piecing things that you've been saying together for like 5 years on my own without mentors, without people understanding, feeling crazy, like trying to piece it together. So this story is like super validating. It allows expansion around letting go and me being me, which is really what I need. Trust. It gives me trust that like the floating, I've been trying to ground, and it's not working, and it's a misdirection of my energy, and it's not helping me flow. And so permission to do me as me, that's like the biggest gift you could offer. As well as let go of this twin flame, I think in this lifetime is something I've been really grappling with. And while being ready to move on, I was still, I think, going to hold out in my head that this was the lifetime we got to be together. I've cried so many times, years on end, over him. And I know that we haven't lived in reality for many lifetimes. Everything you're saying energetically is my real work here. And I feel it in body as an energy, like in the 3D. It's super aligned. Thank you, Annette. I'm so grateful.
You're so welcome. Okay, wonderful. So we are going to close the Akashic Records. Thank you to Akula, my Akashic guide. Thank you, Archangel Metatron, Archangel Sandalphon. The records are closed. The records are closed. The records are closed. Thank you.
And thanks again to Marianne for her participation in this podcast. Annette, twin flames, your favorite topic.
It most certainly is.
Why do you love this topic so much? Tell us.
Well, for the same reason why I love all of the topics, because they are near and dear to my heart.
And this topic is near and dear to your heart because you yourself are a twin flame.
I am.
So can you explain a little bit more about twin flames? What are they?
Twin flames are essentially a way in which you go through your spiritual ascension process. It's important to state that not everybody is a twin flame. A very, very small percentage of people are actually twin flames. And this is just because they have decided to choose this particular direction in order to rapidly grow their ability to ascend.
So the soul has made that decision, not the human being.
Correct. Everybody wakes up in a different way. So some people wake up through near-death experiences, through illness, through losing a loved one. It just so happens that myself, as well as every other twin flame out there, has chosen to wake up through this particular process. And that process is you are one soul going through your experience. And let's say you get stuck on a particular pattern or you can't go any further. So the soul may decide to say, okay, in order to double the amount of information or double the amount of experience I can have, I will split myself into two different humans. So part of your soul goes into one human, the other part goes into the other human. And basically they are both having experiences. And then when they cross over in each incarnation, they report back to the one soul, if you will. It can be a very painful journey. It can be basically a journey of you having to face yourself. And that's exactly what it is. So your twin flame is going to show you exactly what you need to work on. So a lot of people might say, oh, I really wish I could meet my twin flame. And I always joke and I say, well, be careful what you wish for, because basically you're going to be faced with every single shadow you have never faced before or that you haven't effectively faced. So your twin is going to challenge you in every single way in order for you to clear what you need to clear. So it's not like a soulmate. Soulmates are totally different. Soulmates are usually a pretty harmonious connection, whereas a twin flame is a little bit more challenging, but has the potential, once you get through the challenges and once you do the shadow work, has the potential to be an incredible connection. It just has to start with your own self-worth, your own self-love. And if you don't have those things within yourself, and your twin doesn't have that within themselves, then the separation will continue.
And you travel together through lifetimes, side by side, until such a time as you find this harmony together. Is that right?
Correct. And then once the harmony is found together, it's referred to as union energy, then the two halves of the soul will then come back together as one.
And what happens when they do?
Then that one particular soul, after it's been sort of unified, can then just go off and have more experiences as itself.
without the misery. Okay, and so the process of being a twin flame and traveling along the life journey with your twin flame can be quite challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the challenge that Marianne has been experiencing for a long time and has come to you for advice for. So when speaking about her twin flame, you speak a lot about gathering information. What exactly is meant by gathering information as souls?
It depends on the context of what is happening, but in general, it means that the soul itself is having experiences, and through those experiences is either learning and gathering information, or they're getting stuck and maybe not gathering information. But either way, even if they're stuck, that's still giving them information, right? All of our experiences give us more information. So our future selves can operate in a more efficient way, in a more heart-centered way, in a less codependent way, whatever it happens to be in terms of the challenge. All of the gathering of information helps each soul with their trajectory and with their ascension process.
Okay, so gathering information is just another word for learning.
Correct.
And then you say that it will help them to achieve their mission.
Mm-hmm.
And the mission, presumably, as you just mentioned, is that union.
That is the end point. The mission is a bit more nuanced than that, because the mission is different for every twin flame pair. So sometimes the mission is to have a dual soul purpose, like anchoring unconditional love onto the planet. In order to do that, for example, with me and my twin flame, he is the transmuting twin. So he does a lot of transmutation of lower, darker energies, dealing with a lot of death, dealing with a lot of shadow. And although I have dealt with a lot of shadow myself, it is important for one half of the pair to anchor in the light as well, to anchor in sort of the opposite in order for both to not fall.
Just as Marianne is doing.
Correct. And it's not to say that I haven't done that as well, because I certainly did that in many, many lifetimes myself. That is the trade-off often when you want to have something happen more rapidly. So with this spiritual growth and the twin flame journey, wanting to have that rapid spiritual growth, you're going to have a trade-off. And that trade-off is when you get stuck or when something isn't working, it can be pretty serious, and it can actually have a serious impact on the souls, both souls, for many, many lifetimes, in which case you have to kind of dig yourself out.
Which is, once again, kind of what happened to Marianne as well.
Correct.
A strong theme within her journey is staying in her own power and not lowering herself for her twin flame or for other people in general. Is this something you see often, people doing that?
I do. I did it myself. It's not often just lowering your energy. It is staying stuck in the energy that you're in as opposed to advancing. There's a lot of that waiting energy for twin flames, and it's because the one twin flame is afraid that the other half is not going to do their work. They're not going to catch up. They're not going to learn their lessons. They're going to stay stuck. And so that fear of the other half staying stuck keeps them stuck. And what does that do? That keeps them both stuck. In order for them to move forward, one half of the pair needs to move forward in order for them both to be able to move forward. I use this analogy a lot, where if you think about two people climbing a mountain and you're tied to each other with a safety rope, and if one person is just slightly ahead of the other, you're waiting for them to catch up. You're not going to go much further because you're waiting and waiting and waiting. Well, what if they're stuck? They can't move until you actually move. So when somebody is waiting to crest the top of a mountain, when that's the very thing that will help the other person get unstuck, then they're both going to stay there. Now, the fear that often happens is that they fear that if they go to the peak of the mountain, that they're going to have to leave the other person behind, or even worse, cut the rope and let them fall to their symbolic death, because maybe they're not doing their spiritual work. Maybe they're not doing the things that they need to do, but each pair do things in a different way. Each half does things in a different way. When one rises, the other one has to follow. There is no choice. The problem is our perception of when that happens. We might be looking at it just from this particular lifetime. So from my perspective, I'm only looking at it in this last 10 years that I've known my twin flame and seeing the progress between him and I, or the progress that he's made or that I've made over the last 10 years. When in reality, we have to look at the full trajectory of the journey. So when you look at it from that perspective, that 10 years is nothing. So you might look at that 10 years and say, oh my God, there's been no growth. And it's like, well, no, there probably has. It's just been maybe small growth, or maybe there's going to be bigger growth than you think, or that you know, it's hard to know when you don't have that bigger picture perspective. So going back to the mountain analogy, from the perspective of where Marianne is now, she's meant to crest this mountain and then move on to the next mountain. And what she's afraid of is if she moves on to the next mountain, that she's going to lose her twin altogether and they're never going to be able to find each other. And that can come from lifetimes and lifetimes of trauma, of losing each other, of not being successful in your mission, about all the various different things. So ultimately, you have to be able to move forward and trust and understand that even if you go to that next mountain, that your twin is going to be able to find you.
Like in the next life.
Either in this life or in the next one. It doesn't matter when it happens. And that's the biggest key, is that it doesn't matter when it happens. And that's what a lot of twin flames get really caught up on. I know I was for a very long time. I was very caught up on, but we have to be together. And part of that was because I was seeing it. I was seeing that we would be together. But the thing is that you really have to take into consideration what needs to be done in order to come into that union energy. That unity energy is that has to be coming together with two humans that have embodied their own self-love, that have embodied the pinnacle of who their soul is. And that's not an easy task. You can't rush that. And a lot of people try to rush it and they try to say, oh, well, we need to be together as a couple, or we have to do this or we have to do that. And it's like, no, I mean, yes, it would be beautiful to be together as a couple with my twin. I would love it, but only when he is in his own self-love. Because if it's before that, it's just going to be more chaos and more horribleness, you know? So like, and likewise for me, like I needed to be in my own self-love, because when we were together way back when, it was chaos and it wasn't particularly fun because we were showing each other our wounds. So that definitely needs to take precedence to the two people, the two humans coming together.
So speaking of people lowering their energy for the other, what is it specifically about twin flames that makes them so susceptible to doing that for each other? And I mean, that is to say that I think all people, we tend to do that for others, you know, for our soulmates, for people that we care about. Sometimes, you know, we do that out of kind of misguided feelings. But twin flames are even more so likely to do so. Is that right?
It is correct. And there is a reason for this, because we have something that other souls don't have, and it's about that information exchange. So just like you have a cord that attaches you to your soul, so your body to your soul, it's the same with twin flames, where there is an invisible cord that is connecting the two of us. So not only are we connected to our soul, but then we're also connected to each other. This is why with twin flames, you will hear each other's thoughts. You will smell things that they smell, even though you're not even in the same country, the same room, doesn't matter. You will have a greater form of telepathy together, but it can also be really hard because you can feel what they feel. So I have had it happen many times where I have been in really big pain or grief. For example, when my father died. This was a few weeks after my father died, and I was looking at some photos and I just started sobbing, and it was visceral, ugly crying. And within seconds, my twin had messaged me, and it was like some sort of message, like trying to cheer me up. And I don't know if he consciously knew that that's what he was doing, but on an energetic level, he could feel that I was in pain. So it's that type of connection that makes it really beautiful, but then it can also make it very challenging.
And so it makes it much more difficult to step away.
Yes.
I see. So for Marianne, it was a really big thing to receive the permission, so to speak, that you gave her to move on, is because that she feels like she doesn't have the capacity to walk away.
And that's part of the challenge often with twin flames, is that because of this connection that you have, this energetic connection, even if you want to walk away, you can't. It's nearly impossible to do because of the energy exchange that's happening on a regular basis. But when you get to a place of self-love and you get to a place of peace and you know how to work with the energy, you can move on to living your life, possibly having successful relationships with other people, if that's your direction. And you can continue to live your life until which time that your twin flame has done their work and is coming into their own self-love, and you can come together again, whether that's in this lifetime or the next.
So moral of the story and the takeaway from all of this for everybody is that we should follow our own direction, be in our own self-love, do the things that we need to do for ourselves first, always.
Yes.
Before we go chasing whoever it is, be it a soul flame, a soulmate, or just, you know, someone cute down the street.
Correct. Always put on your own oxygen mask first. The other thing that I want to mention about twin flames is that it's not always just the one person that is towing the line, so to speak. They're reminding me to remind the audience, as well as anyone else out there who are twin flames, that we've taken turns, each of us in the twin flame pair. We've taken turns being the leader, so to speak. So there have been times when I've been in super, super low energies and my twin has had to pull me out of the darkness. It's not just like one person is righteous and one person is doing all of their work and getting an A on all of their homework and they've got a star on their forehead and, oh my gosh, look at my twin. He's not doing anything or she's not doing anything. It is very much about this back and forth that you have been helping each other on this process. And ultimately, you have to look at their soul as a part of you. And even if the human version of that person is not great, you don't have to have a relationship with them if you don't want to. It is the soul and that 5D connection that we're talking about here. That is a big message for all of you out there. If your twin flame is super, super toxic, you don't have to be in a relationship with them, and you don't actually even have to be in their physical life. Make sure that you're setting the boundaries that you need to set.
That sounds like really good advice for twin flames and really just about anyone, to be honest.
Correct.
Now, I'm really excited to ask you about this next thing, which I found completely fascinating when I listened to this session. Mm. And that is the subject matter of exit points.
Mm-hmm.
Marianne, during her session, asks about the lifespan of herself and her twin flame. Mm. And you tell them that they will live long and prosperous lives because they have surpassed all their exit points.
Mm-hmm.
Can we please talk about what are exit points?
Aha, yes. So this information I will discuss after I tell you about what I have seen regarding our death.
Please.
So what I have seen is that we all know the time, the day, and the way in which we will die in any given lifetime. It's written in our soul signature. We know it. We've already signed up for that experience. Now, that being said, does that always happen? No. Just like everything else, we have free will. Accidents can happen. The other aspect is, if our soul is seeing that our human self is making a right mess of our trajectory, our soul might say, you know what, we're too far off our life path. I think it's time to call it. And so these are those exit points. So you have certain exit points throughout the course of your lifetime where it's like, okay, let's check in. Let's see where we are. Are we on our path? Are we not? Are we too far gone? Are we going to cause more damage, meaning collect more psychic debris around our soul to the point where it will be really, really hard to get back? And the soul will sort of make that call. And so if, let's say, for example, somebody had not intended on being a drug addict and then somehow fell into it. And so that body, that soul was getting frequently abused by entities and things like that because of the drugs that the person was taking. The soul might say, you know what? I need to preserve what I am and I need to preserve the human. And I know that sounds weird because the human is going to die, but it is preserving the human experience by then deciding, okay, it's time for us to check out.
A quick side question. You mentioned that the body or the soul is being affected by entities because the person is taking drugs.
Mm.
If you don't mind giving a quick explanation of what that means before we come back to the exit points matter.
Oh, sure. One thing that can allow other souls or other entities to sort of feed on your energy is by being in low energy yourself. Alcohol, drugs, any sort of substance can actually kind of poke holes in your energy and leave you vulnerable to those types of entities. And entities will actually attach to you because they want to feel what it feels like to be drunk, to be on that drug, whatever it happens to be. It's like the entities or the lost souls are actually getting an experience through you because you're in that sort of lower energy. So you're more susceptible to that kind of sort of psychic attack, if you will, if you are partaking in those types of things.
And that is more likely to happen if you yourself are in low energies. They can't attach to a person who's in on a high frequency.
Correct.
Thank you for that little side note. So let's come back to exit points. So firstly, why do we need designated exit points?
They're less structured than I am describing. They are sort of movable. It's not like when you're born and then at 15, it's like, okay, check-in time. Are we going to check out? You know, it's not like that. They are sort of more nebulous, but they are sort of built-in check-in points. When you decide to exit early, you hit a button and you're like, okay, I'm done and I'm out. And that's what happens. Now, it's interesting because it is the soul and the higher self and the subconscious that is actually making the decision. So you are part of the decision-making process. Even if your human self is mired in darkness, you're still part of the decision-making process. I've seen it several times in various different sessions where I've been speaking to crossed over loved ones and that crossed over loved one said, I'm sorry, I checked out early. I needed to check out early because of what was going on in my life.
Exit points are not defined and not confined to a specific time and place.
No.
So when you hear people speak about somebody being taken too soon, that it wasn't their time to die, does that often refer to souls taking exit points?
Well, that depends on if it's coming from the actual soul or if it's coming from their loved ones. A lot of times that is simply just our human way of trying to make sense of how that can happen. We value life, and rightfully so. We value it greatly here on this planet. When you are able to take a look at the amount of times each of us has incarnated, and when you start taking a look at all of the lives that we've lived, yes, each of them is very precious, but at the same time, there are so many of them. There are so many lives that each of us have lived that it's just another chapter from the perspective of the loved ones. Yes, they were taken too early. Yes, that's the grief talking. That's the feeling that you have that it wasn't supposed to happen that way. And depending on if that was communicated to the loved one by the person who they lost, it is possible that they could be saying, yeah, we lost you too early. And that could be an exit point that person took. Or it could just be the grief talking. It just really depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm. So when you're speaking to Marianne and you tell her that her and her twin flame have passed all of their exit points,
mm-hmm.
but if exit points are not marked in time and place, how do you know that they have passed them?
They're marked in energy. It's not about the time or place. It's about where your energy is. So if you imagine the energy like an escape game, You know, you do the first puzzle and you solve the puzzle and it's done, and then you're moving on to the next clue, right? So you don't have to go back to that first clue. You'll never have to go back to that first clue because you already have the information. So it's very much like that. So if you're going on this escape game journey and you reach a certain level in the game, you're never going to go back to that initial stage.
That's a really clear analogy. Thank you for that one. However, her twin flame was not necessarily in high energies by the sound of it.
Mm-hmm.
How come he had passed his exit points despite not necessarily being in high energies?
It just depends on what your goal was for this particular lifetime. Just because he's in lower energies in comparison to Marianne doesn't mean that he's in full-on shadow energy. He's just in lower energy in comparison to her. So from his perspective and his journey, he may be in a higher energy now than he has been in a very long time.
Okay, so it's all relatively speaking.
Correct.
Can we come back to the matter of the predetermined time of death outside of exit points? Because that is a fascinating topic in and of itself too. One that is perhaps a little bit controversial.
Could be, yeah.
Are you able to see in your sessions the predetermined time and death of your clients?
I'm sure I could, but I haven't seen it. That's not something they would show to me readily unless it was absolutely necessary. For example, there was a session that I had with a woman whose mother-in-law was basically in hospice. And this was a year ago. And at that point, like, my guides did show me that she was ready to go and that her death day was coming up pretty quickly. I had another session with the same woman a year later, and the mother-in-law had not passed yet. And she basically asked me, like, why hasn't she gone? Like, she's deteriorating. Like, why isn't she gone? And so I ended up being able to connect to her soul, and I found out that she was just incredibly scared. So I was able to bring her some peace and some comfort in order to cross over, and told her that her loved ones were waiting for her. And I actually even opened the gateway for her so she could see who was there for her. And so when I got off that session, I spoke to my client and just said, hey, you know, let me know how things go. And I said, the guides are telling me give it 2 or 3 days. I got an email from her 2 hours later. And she said that her mother-in-law had passed over.
That's incredible.
So they will show it to me if it's necessary in those types of situations. But if you don't need to know, if there's no reason for you to know, they're not going to tell me that information.
Okay, so another little side note. Why would a soul be scared to cross over? Because, I mean, if souls do this all the time, with reincarnate over and over again, surely as a soul, we'd know that there's nothing to be scared of. The human might be scared, but why the soul?
Well, you have to understand that when the soul is incarnated in the body, the soul is affected by our human emotions. So once the soul is able to leave the body, the soul is no longer afraid. But the soul is still going to feel all of those same emotions that you feel.
That makes sense. Why are we not supposed to know our time and place of death?
That's a good question. I've never asked that.
Shall we?
Sure. Most of the time, people are not supposed to know how and when they are going to cross over, when they are going to die. There are certain times when it is okay for you to know until which age you are going to live. And those particular cases are individually based on the fear of death. If knowing that age would bring fear to the person, then they will not know that age, because then they will be living in fear. Therefore, it would lower their frequency and their vibration. Where Annette is right now, currently in her trajectory, knowing this information is not going to make her fearful. Knowing this information is actually helpful for her because she knows she has many decades yet to live in order to help the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people she's going to be helping. Knowing this is actually helpful information for her. That is not often the case. It would be, in fact, rare that knowing that information would be helpful to anyone.
Well, that's a very clear answer from Akula. Thank you.
Thank you. There are also elements of this planet where things just happen. You were saying earlier about, oh, well, they were taken too soon, or that can also happen in terms of not being an exit point, not being a choice of the soul, but that it is just simply wrong place, wrong time. You just happen to be in a place and you get killed by something and it wasn't meant to happen. And that is where there can be a lot of problems with the soul accepting the death. So that is where having a medium come in and help the soul cross over, that can be really helpful. Because I have come across quite a few souls who aren't even aware that they're dead. And that is because their soul is aware of their death day and yet they're dead. So how is that possible when that wasn't supposed to happen for another, let's say, 30, 40 years? So it can be a little bit disorienting for the soul itself because it's sort of tied up in that human experience, the psychic debris, the psychic trauma of the traumatic death or whatever the sudden death was. And so that can really hold somebody back. It can hold a soul back.
Not only would that be disorienting for a soul, I find that very disorienting.
Well, sure.
Because if we're in this all-powerful, all-knowing universe that orchestrates the most incredible things, how can it get something so important wrong?
There's an orchestration of everything that happens. And because things are so slow down here in terms of how energy moves, that it's very difficult for divine source energy to course correct quickly. Think about the Titanic avoiding the iceberg. It's like divine source energy is looking at us going, no, don't do it. No. And then it happens and you're like, oh, okay, well, I mean, and from the perspective of the divine, it doesn't matter because if you die, you die. Okay, cool. You're just going to come back again and do it. So that's fine. Looking at it from a soul perspective, the human death is not as big of a deal as we make it out to be, which sounds kind of cold. And I don't mean it to sound that way. But, you know, from the perspective of the soul, we've done this a million times. So what's one more?
From that point of view, certainly. But if it drives a soul to be lost and confused and suffering, then that seems like a pretty big mistake to make. And I mean, I hear your answer, but still the question then remains, like if divine source energy is rushing to the rescue of some accident that's happening, but why is that accident happening in the first place? Because even that seems like it's beyond what should be happening in this orchestrated, predetermined universe.
Well, two words, free will. We have free will. It's a dance between free will and destiny. Are there destiny points? Sure. But in between all those destiny points, we have free will.
Can we just touch on destiny points?
Yeah, sure. So destiny points are those points that were meant to hit, like little landmarks, so to speak, of what we're supposed to accomplish or what we're supposed to do. And so if we're meant to meet a particular person, have a particular job, affect a person's life, connect with a particular city, state, country, all of those things are kind of fixed points. Not fixed in time, but fixed in energy. Again, it's important to make that distinction. Meaning that if you are meant to meet this person, you will meet this person in that lifetime. Whether it's now or whether if you, let's say you miss that opportunity, well, there's going to be 5 more opportunities to meet that person. Or there are going to be 7 more opportunities to have that job or move to that country. There are times when I think that I was probably meant to move to France, actually sooner than I did.
Me too.
But then I think about it and then I'm like, well, actually, maybe it was the perfect time. I don't know. But ultimately, those are the destiny points, the things that you are meant to do in that life. You're never going to miss anything because the universe is always conspiring to bring you to those points. Your energy is always conspiring as well. And then your free will is everything in between. So your free will is, okay, well, what are you having for breakfast and what movie are you going to watch? And, you know, those are free will decisions.
But can free will affect the destiny points?
Certainly.
Can it cancel out a destiny point?
Well, in the extreme event of a death, sure. But that's basically the only time it would cancel out. Because, like I said, as long as you are living, you'll always have another chance to meet those destiny points. So death would be one of those sort of cancellations, if you will. Another cancellation would be, like I was talking about, like if you're so far gone energetically that there's no possible way you're going to be able to meet your path, and then you decide to take one of those exit points, like that would be another one.
So what is the difference between taking out an exit point and accidentally dying?
One you're choosing, the other one you're not.
But then don't we choose everything? Isn't our soul ultimately driving our life?
Okay. So they're showing me a visual. So the first option where, let's say you're too far gone to achieve your destiny point, so to speak. I'm seeing a person who is very low energy, maybe curled up in a ball, feeling very distraught. And I'm seeing the soul of this person giving them a big hug.
Hello, Lucius.
Hello, Lucius. That soul giving that person a big hug and saying, it's okay, we can start again. And then allowing that exit point to happen. The other scenario where it's an accident, I'm seeing the soul screaming at the person going, no, don't go in that direction. Don't do that thing. Don't go over there. And the soul is doing everything it can in its power to stop the human from making this mistake, whatever it is. And the human is not paying attention and just walks straight into a car. That's the difference in the energy of the soul's interaction with the human in that respect.
So if cats have 9 lives,
they have 9 exit points.
That's a question I might ask Lucius later.
Yeah.
How do we know that we've passed all of our exit points? Or can we know that we've passed all of our exit points?
Simply, if you are listening to this podcast, you've most likely passed your exit points.
Well, that's a nice little free gift to the listeners, isn't it?
It is true. Yeah. Well, because most people are not going to be attracted to this information if they are not well on their way in their spiritual journey. So
that's a really beautiful thing to hear, actually. Mm. Yeah. All right. Now that we've talked about death, let's come back to talking about life for a little while. So a really beautiful thing that unfolded in the session was Marianne receiving permission to be herself, which is something that you were able to give her through the information that you channeled and that you passed on to her from the Akashic Records. That is something that we can all relate to, but it's not always clear why it is that we find that so challenging to just live being ourselves. Are you able to address that?
Sure. This is a really exciting topic, especially given some of the subject matter that you will hear through this podcast. There is a particular session that will be forthcoming where one of the souls that got a session is somebody who breaks down structures of power. These structures of power are responsible for us not being able to connect in to who we are on this planet. These structures tell us we have to be a certain way, we have to do a certain thing, we have to act a certain way. These structures keep us disconnected from our souls. And this is what the spiritual awakening is all about, in fact. It's about the reconnection to who we truly are. And to be able to connect to who we truly are is to have that permission to be who we are. But we can't get that permission to be who we are until we really understand who that is. Because if we don't understand who that is, we will continue to be another cog in the wheel of the systems that are in place. It is not to say that the systems in place are all bad. Some of them are necessary. Some of them are very helpful. But there are other systems of suppression of information, of energy, of love, of higher energies. You only need to look at media at this time to see that it is mostly fear-based. That is a system that keeps us out of our true nature. So you ask why it is that it's so hard for us to give ourselves permission to be who we are. It is because most humans are fighting against everything in society that is telling them not to be. That is slowly changing, and eventually that will change for good. Anything else? No, not at this time. Okay.
Oppressed by the systems. Do you give a sense of what particular systems being referred to?
Well, I mean, it can be anything as small as having a 9-to-5 job to governments. They were saying some governments and some structures within governments are really good and some of them are not so much. We are told that, oh, you have to go to college. It's the only way you're going to succeed. And actually, right now, people are starting to realize that is absolutely untrue. That the idea of having a craft and actually going and being an apprentice somewhere, or, you know, apprenticeships are really big here in France. The notion that the only way that you can succeed is by going to college, like that whole structure is going away. Now, does that mean nobody's going to go to college? No, that means that the people who are really feeling guided that college is the right direction for them, that's what they're going to do. And the people who don't feel that are not going to feel forced to do so. And that's the biggest thing, is that if something is aligned for you, it's going to light you up inside and you're going to want to do it. Even if it is challenging, you're going to want to do it. And if it's not aligned for you, you're going to know it in every cell of your being that this isn't the right direction for me. The problem is that we don't often give options to people as to what those other options would be. So a lot of times people feel trapped in where they are because they're like, well, where else do I go? I don't know what else I can do. That's on a really 3D level, but from the standpoint of Marianne and her session, it was just giving her permission to be who she is in terms of a soul. It's the same thing in spiritual circles. Spiritual circles, they'll be like, you have to be this way, or you have to be that way, or you have to be high vibrational all the time, which is toxic positivity, or you have to be this. You know, it's like, no, you don't have to be anything. Everybody is different. Every soul is different. Every soul has their own trajectory. And if Marianne needs to be not grounded for her to feel like her, cool. Stop grounding so much. It's actually making you feel worse. So it's all about really connecting in to yourself to figure out what works for you. Don't do what everybody else is doing because they're just saying to do it. You can try some things that everybody else is doing, but if it's not resonating for you, you need to stop and find your own path.
That is so true and so well said. And I think if we're talking about social structures, I mean, that's one thing and they're certainly contributing to it, but I guess it's the social conditioning that is created and reinforced by these structures. That is the real thing mm-hmm. that is doing that. And I think that all of these different spiritual paths and modalities that are becoming more and more popular, they are making such a big difference to people in terms of accepting ourselves for who we are.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're all such liberating practices.
They can be. That is also another thing to keep in mind too, that, for example, if you want to take astrology, if you get an astrology reading and somebody says something about your sign and what your trajectory is, and it doesn't feel right to you, don't take that on as your truth. If it doesn't feel right, I'm a Pisces Aries cusp and I have a Gemini rising. And I have been told over and over again, oh, that's so Gemini rising. And I'm like, I actually don't connect with my rising sign at all. Like all of the attributes of being a Gemini doesn't actually fit for me. I very much connect to my Pisces side and my Aries side, actually. So that's not something I even concern myself with. I'm not trying to make it fit where it doesn't fit. If there is information that I eventually learn about my Gemini rising, cool, that'll be fine. I'm not going to take everything as the be all end all of information. That's part of this practice of removing yourself from the structures. I mean, that includes spiritual structures as well. Always being willing to allow your belief systems and the way you think to change. Because the second you're stuck in something is the second you are going to stop evolving and growing.
Absolutely. And the way that I see these modalities, these practices, it's not about taking on a belief system. It's actually just about having validation for what you already know about yourself.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
And certainly if you're studying something, if you're reading something and it doesn't resonate with you, then it's not for you and there's no reason to hold on to it. But if you're reading it and you have an aha moment And it's like, yes, that is exactly how I am. And it's okay. Like, what a wonderful, liberating thing that is.
100%. Yeah.
And that's exactly the experience that you allowed Marianne through this session, which is such a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Annette. Today was absolutely fascinating. Satisfied many of my curiosities today.
I'm sure we will expand on these subjects at some point.
I'm sure you will.
Mm.
Until such a time.
Until next time. If you would like to get in touch with either Julia or myself, feel free to head to my website at infinitesoullove.com. You can also follow me on all social media at infinitesoullove1111. And that is on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Thanks so much, and see you next week.